Welcome back to the Babylon Podcast. I am Tim Callender.
I'm Jeremy Heide.
And I'm Mike Diamond.
Mike, thanks for filling in. As you can tell, we are without Summer. She is off doing summer things. I would say winter is coming, but that's not really true either. So
she's got a month and a half here. I mean, she's got plenty of time.
Right. Exactly. All right. So Mike has agreed truly, truly last minute to step in and handle things. We are going to be doing a two-part feedback-a-palooza.
Okay.
So strap in, folks. But I got a couple quick things here. One is JMS related. The other is Babylon 5 related. The first is, just doing a quick search here, found something that I hadn't read before. This is on a website called Deadline New York. I'm not quite, it looks like some sort of an entertainment site. And this is a little piece written up back in March of this year. And it is about a film called The Dive. And I'll just read this real quick. 20th Century Fox has attached Martin Campbell to direct and J. Michael Straczynski to write The Dive, the true tragic love story of free driver Francisco Pippin Ferraris and his wife Audrey Mestre. I hope I pronounced that right. The picture was originally a James Cameron vehicle, and he and his production team are producing it. I'm paraphrasing there. The story tells the story of two preeminent free divers who, with but a breath of air in their lungs, plunged to an unimaginable depth before swimming back to the surface. Mestre died during an attempt to better her world record to 557.7 feet. So, that's the first I've ever heard of that project.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll see if anything comes of that. Like many projects, you know, they'll announce it and then nothing happens. Lensman, I'm looking at you.
And it was 5 minutes.
Everybody drink.
Quick. I don't think we made it to 5 minutes.
We're not going to start. A great timing, Tim.
Sorry.
Some of us have been keeping, for those of you who don't know, some of us in the chat room has been keeping bet, seeing how long it'll take for Tim to mention Lensman in the middle of our podcast.
Well, did you win, Mike?
No, actually, I usually was hoping you sold out for like 50-minute mark.
Sorry, dude. You should have let me know before we went on. I would have saved that for you.
Hey, now wait, that's not particular.
No. That's insider trading. We got to be honest with it.
Can't fix
okay,
the bets.
All right. Well, whoever won, send an email, and we'll announce you on the next show. The other little bit of news here, and this is mostly for people in the live feed because I'm not quite sure when the show will actually hit the feed. Volume 3 of the B5 Book Team's 6-volume series, Echoes of All Our Conversations, Volume 3 is coming out May 16th. This one is signed by Claudia Christian, and there's not much more information about it beyond that. I was kind of looking through the site here. Like all the other books, these are a collection of interviews and information and articles from a as-it-happened point of view from when the show Babylon 5 was in production. And there should be a CD like the other two that has an audio interview on it. So anyways, save your shekels for that, kids. And there it is. That's the news. Anybody else have any cool information to add? Okay.
I don't have any.
Well, I would say at this point, why don't we go ahead and let's just take a quick break and then come back and get right into the feedback that you folks have been so patiently providing and we've been so neglectfully stockpiling.
You know, sometimes when you're looking for something just a little bit more refreshing, you've got to turn to
Slice
of Sci-Fi.
SliceofSci-Fi.com.
Okay, now we are ready for Feedback-a-palooza.
Yay. I don't have any noisemakers to...
Oh, well. We'll edit that in post.
All right, let's go ahead and get started.
Yep.
Hey, this is Roger from Lowell. I've been catching some of your last few episodes on the Unproduced Crusade scripts a little out of order, so apologies if you've already addressed this on another episode. But I was just listening to Little Bugs Have Lesser Bugs, and you know, you guys spent a lot of the time on the deep evening talking about how they would get to that point of how the crew was acting in that episode in the script from the season one finale and being season two. But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know it was pushed back to season two, but weren't you guys reading a treatment that was written for season one before they decided to push it back? So, I mean, my assumption is that whether that was the case or not, wouldn't it be going through a few more drafts to reconcile it with what happened in the season one finale in the beginning of season two? So for all the time that you guys were worrying about how did we get back to this place, I don't think they were going to get back to that place, at least not anytime soon. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, just to say generally, that's kind of the rub with discussing any of the unproduced scripts is how it would all fit in to the story. I guess the thing is, yeah, would they have reconciled it with whatever the season finale was, with Gideon being shot and Darina coming back with a super cool sword from the weird glowy spaceship? I'm sure they would have, but
there's some pretty big.
That's a pretty big if, and it really there's this, you know, people get bored with each other when they're used to each other. You know, it's like, okay, I know what this person's going to do all the time. And I think one of the things that we saw in the first season, or in the only season of Crusade, is that some people did things that were not expected, and in some cases, it hacked people off and caused friction. So to have everybody just kind of like bored and watching soap operas, you know, it kind of boggles the imagination.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next.
All right.
Hey, Badcasters, it's Gary. And I'm listening to you talk about Legend of the Rangers. And I, too, used to dismiss this early on. A friend of mine a few years ago suggested that I go out and buy the DVD. And I did, and I watched it again. And I liked it. As I think back what JMS had sort of envisioned for Crusade, but sort of got pulled off on, that he wanted something that wasn't quite so arc-driven, that was a little bit lighter. I guess, in a sense, keeping more in touch with some of his cartoon efforts that he had done earlier in his career. And I felt that Legend of the Rangers did have a little bit of that flair. In a sense, I feel like we got much less of this, or at least less of a progression than we ever saw in Crusade. As it's come out in Crusade, we know that Gideon was going to get shot, and from later conversations, Gary Cole wasn't going to come back to season two anyway, so we would have gotten a new captain. I guess that's the sort of Babylon 5 spin on series. And so we know that that was going to happen. We know that from future events that a cure for the Drog Plague was found. So in a sense, some of the larger questions of Crusade were answered. Maybe not fleshed out, but answered. But with Legend of the Rangers, we never found out what happened to the Leandra's crew. We never had a sense of David Martell. I always thought it weird that they chose the name David, thinking that it might have been, Delenn and Sheridan's son, even though obviously no bones, so probably it wasn't. But that was sort of a tease, at least early on when I was reading the press reports, that I wish it had been their son, David. It would have been nice to see him, although I realized that the timing doesn't quite work out because he'd be about 10. That being said, I enjoyed it. JMS has made several critiques as to the whole, battle control system, and I don't know if it's after the fact apologizing or it really was the case at the time it was being shot, but both in the script books and at online, he's commented that he agrees it sucked and that it didn't come out anywhere where he had envisioned it. So those are my two cents. I would have loved to see, like I said, background story on the Leandra and find out what actually had happened with David Martell and his little band of Rangers. I enjoyed the Rangers series. I thought it would have worked a lot better than, obviously, anybody at Sci-Fi did. Those are my two cents. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Gary. It's clear, like you say, watching Legend of the Rangers, that it was supposed to be much more action-adventure-oriented. And without knowing what the brief was from what Sci-Fi was looking for, it was clear that that's where that was going. And the demographic skewed much younger in terms of the major cast, other than Andreas Katsoulis playing Jakar, and that's really just a guest shot. I mean, those were all 20-somethings. You know, I don't think there was anybody older than, in my opinion, 28. I don't know exactly what the cast ages were, but that's, I got the sense.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Really, really young. And I think the other thing is it's fairly well documented that from at least JMS perspective is that it was scheduled up against, on the East Coast, a sports contest. Was it a football game or basketball game? So there was a playoff game going on that same night.
Right. Mm. That was football. I'm pretty sure it was a championship. It was.
Right.
Know. Yeah.
So it was pretty big deal.
Right.
Neil had just bumped in there and said, that he didn't hear anything about, no Gary Cole in the second season.
That's news to me too. Now, whether, you know, Gary, if you're reading something that I haven't gotten my fingers on, which is entirely probable, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I hadn't either. That was news to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of strange. I mean, I would think they would want, try to avoid the same pattern they fell in with Sinclair and Sheridan thing.
Right. Because can you imagine what, I mean, if fans were already on the fence with Crusade anyway, can you imagine what the hue and cry would have been?
Well, then again, look what happened after the first season and how good it got on the second season after the switch. So,
well, I'll give you that. That's very, very true. But,
yeah.
You know, because here's the thing. As Gary says with Legend of the Rangers, that was supposed to be not as heavily arc-driven show. Well, that's kind of what I recall reading at the time, some things JMS was saying about Crusade, was that he did the heavy arc show with B5,
right, and he wanted just to another tell stories.
I got the impression Legend of the Rangers was kind of like the mystery men of the Rangers, as it were. The misfits that kind of got shuffled off into this second-hand ship, and they actually saved the day here.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad way of describing it.
Truly.
All right, next one.
Hey, Badcasters. This is Gary from Jacksonville, and, why am I still saying from Jacksonville after all these years? Anyway, two things really quick. I'm listening to you, Geek. For a second time about Lost Tales, and I did want to point out that at the time it was released, there was an option to at least watch and maybe even download an HD version of the show at the time. It was never, as Summer was saying, available on Blu-ray or anything like that, but you could stream a version online, but I think it was just to watch or rent. I didn't think it was to own, although I could be mistaken. What was my other point? Oh, I thought Sheridan might have killed Ventari. You know, Sheridan's been one to do the crummy, dirty job once in a while. I'm thinking about nukes. I'm thinking about attacking Centauri Prime. You know, he's not without blood on his hands, so I didn't think it was impossible that he would have done it. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Okay, I can't argue with that, because if that's your impression of what the character is, I guess maybe the thing is, it's not that I didn't think that Sheridan was capable of it. I just didn't think that it was going to happen in that story. You know, that to me, what was happening in that the interesting things happening in that story wasn't that immediate threat of. To save the future, I have to kill someone in the present, because that just, I don't know. I'm not saying that it was that it was predictable necessarily. I just didn't see that happening. And I guess maybe part of it is I was thinking, well, this was going to be the first of a number of home releases, or whatever the euphemism is now for direct-to-DVD. And so I was going to see how – to me, the more interesting thing was going to see how JMS was going to get to the point that Central Park was getting blasted by orbiting starships. And were they really Centauri? You know, because that was kind of the mystery of all that. So the threat of Sheridan killing Ventari just didn't have that kind of power for me. So now, why you keep saying Gary from Jacksonville? Maybe it's because you're still from Jacksonville, or has something changed?
No, I think he still is.
Yeah. Okay, then. You can say Gary from Earth.
There you go. Earth Alliance.
Yeah. Right.
He calls us from Mars. That's going to take a while.
Yeah, there's a lot of latency. We're going to have to.
Yeah, dialing into Skype might not be the best route for that one.
You know, you get what you pay for, I guess.
Yeah, unless they got tacky on transmission Skype, in which case, I want it.
Right. I think you have to pay the premium for that one to get that subscription, though. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, that contract you just got all untangled with.
Is that the same as...
quantum level, so...
Yeah. Is that the same as American Airlines boycotting their lifetime passes?
Right.
Oh, great.
This is the Hated Bunny for the Babylon podcast. You did a segment with you were talking about the last movie. Now I can't remember it. The Memory of Rangers or some such thing. And you said that the hand was, that it was mentioned that the hand was more powerful than the shadows were. And the thing about the Rangers not being able to retreat. Well, the first thing about the hand was they were lying. They weren't more powerful than the Rangers. They just wanted people to think that. It's kind of like Iran saying that they're more powerful than the United States. You know, they're just saying that, trying to get people scared. And, because I heard that from JMS, and I also heard from him that the Rangers, where they aren't supposed to retreat, even though they know they're going to lose, that was something that the Drac got people to start thinking. They were actually, the Rangers were infiltrated apparently by the Drac. So after hearing him say that, it made it an awful lot better to watch that show. So there. Okay, I'm done. Bye.
Okay. I hadn't read any of that, but I'm not disagreeing with it. I like the idea that, you know, maybe it's a propaganda snow job on the part of the hand.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool concept. I would love to have seen that played out. Mm-hmm. You know, as for the bit about the, you know, Drac infiltrating the Rangers to make them so they don't retreat, I don't know. You know, that doesn't make sense to me. I see that more of a, lack of a better term, a machismo that might infiltrate into an organization like that to the point where the concept of not retreating is taken literally. I mean, it's one thing to not back down from a challenge and find a way to overcome, and maybe sometimes the way to overcome something is to not engage it directly or retreat or whatever until you can handle it. And I can see where in a military organization like the Rangers, that might start to become interpreted as you don't retreat no matter what.
Or maybe it was simply implanted.
Well, that could be. I mean, that was the whole thing. Because the other part of it is, you know, the Rangers, if I recall correctly, and if I'm misremembering this, let me know. They were originally a warrior cast.
Right, that's where they originally
origin. Right, exactly. So I could see some of that being in that.
No surrender, no retreat.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that was. But there's a book. The books go back and say that was more that it was actually a hybrid. There it was alluded to, then supposedly got lost in the history there. So, like, all three casts were involved.
Yeah, so, yeah.
That was in, I think that was in Dream of City of Sorrows there, that that was something the Warrior cast conveniently left out of certain editions.
Well, yeah. That would never happen, right?
Oh, never. Right. Memories don't lie. They just, oops, we forgot that page.
Conveniently forget the right. truth.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, that page about the other cast right here somewhere. Ah, let's just go to the press.
Right.
Well, that's the difference between the religious cast and the Warrior cast, is the religious cast that has Phil's guilt.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah. The Warrior cast just punches you in the mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
They're doing their job.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's part of it, I think, is if it really came from the Warrior cast, you know, it's more important to get the job done than it is than your, you know, anything else, I would think.
Right.
So maybe it was a plant. Maybe it was one person at a key point in time that was able to put that out there.
Hey, Badcasters, it's John from Jersey, host of the Critical Knit Podcast. Long time, no voicemail. Anyway, I was just listening to the feedback show where you were discussing the oddities of the video release for the Babylon 5. And, Summer, I'm afraid I must correct you. There was a time when they did show the original pilot on our make it available, and that would have been during the initial Columbia House video release. If you remember the ones that you would get in the mail, and they would have various TV shows and videotapes available, well, they had the original pilot on that. Unfortunately, I don't think it ever went more than halfway through the first season before it was discontinued. At any rate, the other thing that Tim was talking about was a test DVD that was sent out. You know how they love to do this. They sent The Gathering and In the Beginning as a double-sided DVD, very cheap. And, yeah, I actually have it. I will try to remember and send you a picture of it. And, boy, it was really a crappy transfer. Watching In the Beginning, it was, well, quite frankly, practically unwatchable because it would pixelate like crazy because of the poor poor transfer. But at any rate, that's what I remember back during the days after the show went off and trying to find ways to get that content back, what we didn't record on tape anyway. Until next time.
All right. Thanks for that. Thanks for that memory. I mean, one of the things I recall from that DVD is the titles on the menus were just some cliched sci-fi digital font from like 1975, you know? And it's like, it was clearly put together by somebody who had no understanding of what science fiction was. Mm-hmm. They didn't package it to appeal to the fans. It was obvious.
They just wanted to get...
Go ahead.
I've never seen these things. I just wanted to get it out to them. I mean, I got my copy of the pilot from a friend of mine who was running a comic shop back home.
Right.
And I mean, I never saw these DVDs floating around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Columbia House was at their end when they started their DVD service. So, I mean. It was a joke when it was a CD service, and then they went to DVDs, and then that was the end. I mean, I remember shortly thereafter, they were done.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a little bit of that content out there in a different form, so.
Well, and I think, I'm trying to remember if it was JMS talking, and I think it might have been from our interview with him, is the idea that... Warner's has often used B5 as the trial run for any new method of delivery of content. You know, online streaming is one of their first shows that they streamed.
Right.
You know, it was one of their first shows that they packaged up as box sets. It was one of the first shows that they tried for, you know, the direct-to-home, you know, original content. So...
Yep. I would agree with that.
Yeah, Babylon 5, the guinea pig.
Yeah, right, exactly.
the guinea, you see the guinea pig running around inside the middle of Babylon 5. That's why it spins.
Yeah, that's why it spins.
That's really cool. It spinning.
Yeah.
It's just a huge
Well, I mean, I'll say this to their credit, like some of the animated stuff they've done for the DC Universe has been strong material.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and obviously it's cheaper to produce an animated show than it is to mount an effects-laden science fiction, live-action science fiction show. But, you know, you would think that – see, now we're back to that part again. But it's like you'd think that they would recognize that this one would appeal to the same audience as the other. And why not try to promote that?
Cross-promote.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, JMS has been, he's been writing DC comics, you know, Superman Earth 1 and, you know,
quite a while now he's been doing this.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, you know, play that angle. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I think we should take a quick break.
That sounds like a great plan.
And we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm here with my friend Carl. Oh yeah, Carl's a zombie. We're here to tell you about the Zombie Channel at www.zombiechannel.com. Yes, yes, Carl, I was just getting to that. At the Zombie Channel, you'll discover exciting zombie entertainment, zombie video, zombie audio, and zombie news and information from all around the globe. So visit the Zombie Channel at www.zombiechannel.com. Yes, Carl, I'm sure they'll bring their brains.
And we are back from our break. And, Jeremy, let's go ahead and have the next voicemail.
Hello, this is Neil from Bowie Listening Show 259 about the Legend of the Rangers, and just thinking about Legend of the Rangers, you know, sad what happened to it. But I remember, I think that weekend I watched it probably twice, and while, you know, it did have some flaws to it, it was exciting to see that, and there was this, you know, this promise, this hope of a new series, especially a series that, you know, would overlap some of the time frame with Crusade, and it might have helped bring some resolutions to Crusade. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And so we still, you know, don't know how Crusade would have worked out, and we don't know how Legends of the Rangers would have evolved. So, you know, we're still waiting on finding that out. And, of course, you know, even if it did go to series, who knows what Sci-Fi would have done with it based on their current track record in canceling shows, you know, moving them to a weird times. You just can't trust anybody these days. But I wish... wish things had turned out better, and had it, you know, been for that no playoff game, you know, maybe it would have turned out better. But you know, we have the pilot, and maybe we'll get something more someday in the future. That's all.
Thanks for that, Neil. Yeah, you know, well, I mean, I'll say this about Sci-Fi at that point in time. I thought they were doing okay by science fiction fans. And I think overall, you know, while people are crabbing about the fact that they canceled SGU only after a year and that Eureka's coming to an end because there's something in the production contract that says that after so many years, Sci-Fi picks up all the money, so they're going to cancel it so they don't have to pay for any of it. I don't know. I can't, you know, that's where it is today, but You know, they had a handful of shows that they were produced, original shows. Now, they were cheaper shows, like, what was it, First Wave, The Alien Invasion, or Third Wave. They picked up Mystery Science Theater. And so I suspect that had the ratings gone otherwise, they might have done okay by Legend of the Rangers. And they really wanted Crusade, from everything I've read. They wanted Crusade, but they'd already committed some monies to some other shows before Crusade became available. And then, of course, the fact that TNT just made it prohibitively expensive for anybody to pick it up for their own nefarious reasons. So, you know, I think sci-fi then is different than what sci-fi is now.
I would agree.
Yeah. They lost me when they changed their name here. I gave up on them.
That was Syphy. Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody wants syphilis.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, thank you. I'd like to avoid a shot of penicillin in my butt if I can possibly avoid it.
Well, I'll check out Warehouse 13 when that comes back around, because I'm a fan. But I can tell you that there's not much else that I watch on that channel.
Warehouse 13's coming around again?
I understand it is. I think it should be coming around soon. Oh. You know, I mean, there was even a time when they were running Doctor Who. I can't remember how far behind they were from when BBC was airing it in the UK, but BBC America grabbed hold of it, maybe because they're affiliated with the BBC. I don't know, but why sci-fi isn't running Star Trek marathons all the time and Space 1999 and hell, Lost in Space and you know, I mean, it's. I can even deal with the doofy Monster of the Week movies that they've been doing for a while, because you know what, that's as horrible as they are, they're in some ways no different than the Blob or the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff has been with us since before the beginning.
I mean, BBC America is showing the new stuff. I always like to see the old stuff come back, old Doctor Who come back here myself. Here,
that's... right? I mean, that's interesting that nobody's got that running someplace either.
Yeah, I mean,
I saw all my old Doctor Who on PBS, and I'd love to see it come back. I'd watch it again, all the way back through.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, public television is the reason I met Leela and Tegan when I was younger.
Wow,
there you go.
Oh yeah. But, yeah, I haven't seen any old episodes for ages here.
I did like the last seasons, though, the jelly baby things. That was pretty good, if nobody's seen that.
I haven't actually...
No spoilers, but, yeah, it's a right. reference to old school stuff.
Yeah.
There you go. You know, kind of to dovetail into this, I've got an email here. It comes from longtime listener Nan Bailey. And she writes... I got to wondering, after your discussion about missing the missing parts of Crusade more than the missing parts of Legend of the Rangers, is that because we got more Crusade? Would you miss Crusade more if all you had was a Call to Arms? I've been wondering that for myself, and I can't answer it. Well, what say you? If all we ever got was a Call to Arms, and we got no Long Road, and we got no Each Night I Dream of Home, and no Visitors from Down the Street,
I would have been looking for like novels or something to try to continue it on, because that just was a great setup. I thought that was, I mean, Call to Arms was just a nice setup into a series like that.
Yeah, and it was very. I think it was very interesting in the fact that we knew it was going to come out all right.
Right.
But it's all the stuff that happened in the meantime. I mean, that's the real, you know.
Yeah, the highs, the lows.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be easy to say no. You know, I don't know that I'd have a different feeling about Crusade if we never got a series per se. But that was, you know, the difference is, like you said, it's kind of it was the build up for it. You know, we knew that there was a Crusade series coming.
Right. Yeah,
that was already in place. Legend of the Rangers was truly a pilot to see whether or not they would go into production for a full-on series.
Right.
And the, like you said, Mike, I think the setup was there. It was a strong setup. Yes, it benefited very much from having Bruce Boxleitner and Jerry Doyle in it.
Mm-hmm.
Legend of the Rangers was a self-contained piece. You know, now that it's over, okay, well, there's the mystery of the hand, but okay, if we never find out about it, that's all right, too.
All right. Yeah, I mean, for me, Legends of the Rangers is kind of self-contained, just kind of that one, just a little blip with the Mystery Men type thing, or as I think Sykeimer said, crash test dummy. No. Sorry. The crash test dummies of the Rangers. it just kind of that one storyline. Do we hear about them in another show? Would we have heard about them in Crusade?
Right. Would there have been the crossovers? You know, that could have been very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been fun.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Crusaders meet the Mystery Men.
And then we could have had a spinoff of that. It could have been the Lone Rangers. It would have been great.
The Lone Rangers. Yes.
It'd be like three of them, like the Lone Gunmen, you know.
Yeah, right, 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 right. The Three Stooges Rangers. I like it.
Every time one of the old casts come in, the Mark Snow back soundtrack in the background.
Wow.
Talk about a tangent.
Yeah.
Okay, where were we?
Thanks, Nan. We appreciate that very much. I don't even know what happened there. So, Jeremy, okay.
I think we're ready to end this section of the
Balloon Cast. Yeah, I think we killed this one.
All right, so this sort of collapsing in on itself. Okay, well, now, because Jeremy is such a smart guy, and this is why we like what he's doing, because of what he's doing, is he's like made sure that we're all prepared and stuff. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Babylon Podcast, part one of Feedbackapalooza, part two coming your way after this part one gets out there. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at babylonpodcast@gmail.com. I have been trying to get through the backlog, so if you sent an email about a month ago and you've thought we completely forgot about you, no, we didn't. Promise you. So we're going to be reading a few of those as we get in the next Feedbackapalooza. You can also check us out online. There is the forums, which is over wherever the forums are. www.farpointforums.com, and look for the Badcast. And here's the actual link for that. See, and now I'm getting prepared. This is horrible. Yeah, it's a whole PHP thing. I won't read it for you. But anyways, so there's that. And, of course, if you want to get your voicemail on next round of Feedbackapaloozas, please feel free to give us a call. That number is 206-338-2259. That number, once again, 206-338-2259.
The year of the great host scramble came upon us all.
Yes. And we will see you again on the other side of the gate. Thanks, Summer.